substituting Carly's chart at the corner.
Gotcha. It's showtime.
Greetings. This is CAGDU about your dog and you. And I'm your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor. And my co-host, Mr. Charlie Crawford, which we call Charlie C. He is not with us. He is still recuperating in the rehab center, which we finally call his spa and hotel, the way he's being treated over there. We don't know if he's ever going to come out of there. But as last week, we had Mr. Pat Sheen, which is also the president of the National Capital Area chapter, and that's a chapter that meets in Silver Springs, Maryland. So he's with us today again. How you doing today, Mr. Pat Sheen?
I am doing great today, Ray. It's a pleasure to be here, subbing for Charlie one last time, and we're hoping that he's doing well at the spa. From the reports that I hear, he's being treated well, good food, and all that. So I'm hoping he comes out.
Okay. Oh, well, we won't say one last time. We'll say what, Mr. Day?
No,
we won't say one last time because, you know, with Charlie's schedule and all the blue blood people he know and, you know, the high mucky mucks, we don't know, you know, when he might have to be substituted for. So
you know, Ray,
the
other thing
that
happened, you know, Charlie and I both grew up in New England. And back in 2003, the quarterback for the New England Patriots got injured and was substituted by another guy by the name of Tom Brady. And they never heard of that other quarterback since.
Oh, my.
So, you know, he better be coming back soon because we don't want to see him substituted out.
Yeah, okay. Oh, good analysis.
Drew Bledsoe,
that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, then Drew went on to be a great quarterback still in New Orleans. But anyway, with all that levity and cutting up and carrying on, and good thing we're not getting paid for this, is again, this is CAGDU about your dog and you. I am your host, Reverend Ray Razor. My guest co-host again is Mr. Pat Sheen, and we're going to say hello to Al, hoster with the Moses, our engineer, our producer, and all of that. Miss Renee, how are you doing today?
I am fantastic. Thank you so much. I love opening the show with a couple of laughs. We need that.
Indeed, especially in this day and time. And as Jackie Leeson used to say, take it away. Let us know our lineup for the day.
I sure will. And just before that, I do want to properly welcome our guest co-host, Patrick Sheen, who is the president of the National Capital Area Chapter of the ACB. And they meet in beautiful downtown Silver Spring monthly. And I'm sure he'll give us some contact information so that if you're interested in joining the chapter or getting more information, he can give that to you. Our show lineup is Stop Dogging Us Around, the good, the bad, and the ugly of using a dog guide. And our guest is Claire Stanley. She's an advocacy and outreach specialist of the ACB, the American Council of the Blind. So we will learn more about that. And our second half, we will continue with the interview with Claire Stanley, but we'll also have, we'll peer into Charlie's Corner and see what Pat has for us. First. So back over to you guys.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Miss Renee. And like I say, we like to start with the Stop Dogging Us Around, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, using a guide dog. And this is brought to you by the Big Bad Wolf Pet Store. And that is one of our major sponsors, and they're located in Tacoma Park, Maryland. Thank you, Miss Penny. She is the sole proprietor owner, and that's where all of my guide dog, Miss Raven, which is my seventh guide dog, and I only had German Shepherds from CNI Guide Dog School, so she provides all her food, and I mean top brand, top of the line brand of dog food. I'm tell you, I read some of this dog food, what's on the package, like whole eggs, real cheese. I don't know what kind of cheese I've been eating. Real cheese and all these other ingredients. I say, this dog eating better than I am. But anyway, we want to thank Miss Penny and the Big Bad Wolf. So you can go to their bigbadwolf.com. They do deliver, which is wonderful, free delivery. And you can call them at 202-747-3434. That's 202-747-3434, and that's the Big Bad Wolf, and that wolf is spelled W-O-O-F, Wolf, a Wolf. So start dogging me around, the good, the bad, and the ugly, using a guide dog. With us not being out much and around and about, I don't have a lot of adventure stories for you, but I can say this. Being in my home 98.7% of the time, with having a service dog, guide dog, you do have to at least go out two or three times a day. And so, therefore, me and the dog is not putting on as much weight as we normally would be. So that is a good aspect of having a guide dog, so taking care of something other than yourself. Because I know when I was using a cane there for a while, I would not be going outside or just to be walking around like a little hamster in a cage, just going nowhere, just walking to be walking.
That would be me, right?
That would be bad.
That's a little hamster. So, I don't remember that.
Okay, so that is one good thing about using a guide dog, and I think our host has a dog, so I'm sure she'll share with us what their activities are and using the dog. But the other flip side of that is that also with this virus, people are not coming up to our dogs, and I don't know if she can share this with you as well, but they are not running up to our dogs like they used to say, I want to pet your dog, and oh, they're so beautiful, and I love them, and I want to hug them and kiss them and all. No, I'm not getting that these days. I'm getting where people will wave like two blocks away. Hey, how you doing? watch out for going across. You know, one time, and a lot of us as blind can attest to this, people actually at the corner would grab us by our arm, drag us across the street, and sometimes we don't even want to go across that street. And so
but thank you for your help.
Is that right,
Pat? It was a safe crossing.
You had that experience, haven't you?
It was a safe crossing. I just didn't want to be here. Thank you very much.
So I'm not getting a lot of that and stuff. So people, I'm outside down and they, like I say, standing a block or something away or hollering at me. No, go that way. No, go this way. So that is interesting. So anyway, that is stop dogging me around, talking about the good and the good, the bad, the ugly, and use the guide dog. But once we back having a so-called regular. Well, nothing to ever be regular again. But our new norm is going to be interesting and different adventures in using a guide dog. And I can honestly say, as our host, our guest that'll be coming up, that it is interesting in using a guide dog. There's nothing ever the same, nothing ordinary about a day in your life with a guide dog. Believe me, every time you step out of your door, it is a different experience. But anyway, so I want to close with the good, the bad, the ugly of stop dogging me around using a guide dog. And so, Mr. Sheehan, can you share with us just a little bit about the last time we talked to you before we bring our guests on, what's been happening in your life being institutionalized in your home?
Well, since being a little hamster here, I'm just nibbling on a piece of lettuce right now. but I've got to say, it is interesting what is going on around here. I think the latest thing that is of interest in trying to get out is trying to navigate with the new streeteries that we have being generated in the Silver Spring area. was laughing with a couple people. Somehow I just don't see myself sitting there outside a restaurant, in the middle of Georgia Avenue with cars whizzing by having a sandwich. It just doesn't seem to appeal. So if that's our new normal, I'm not sure how much I'm going to be eating out, you know.
No,
I mean,
you,
I guess
you're
it gives...
right, and I was going to ask you about that, because when I heard that your mayor, what's his name, some Eldridge, Montgomery County, he was talking, and they was talking about that, what that's going to look like, you know, with people out, the restaurants extending their service by putting tables and stuff out there.
It gives a new meaning to the word drive-through. You know, so I just go out there and pick up your lunch that you just bought. You know, it's like, thank you for that.
Right.
It's my lunch.
One of Charlie's little pet peeves is here. Y'all already deal with these floating. Bus stop,
floating
right?
Bus stops, right? Yeah, I'm kind of hoping. I don't know where the name came from, but I'm hoping they just kind of float away. But that's another.
For those of us who don't know, what's a floating bus stop?
Well, you know what? I think we could almost blame that one on Claire. She probably has a better definition. But a floating bus stop is actually a bus stop that has been put maybe one block, one lane into traffic, so that you have to cross a median strip, like maybe 6 or 8 feet across, to get to that bus stop. The interesting thing is that if you don't line yourself right out correctly, you can miss that bus stop, and it's giving a lane of traffic to bicyclists and scooters, let's say, on that lane, but it is not at all helpful with folks that are blind who are using canes and guide dogs, because they're hard sometimes to find. Now, I will give credit. I hate to give credit to Charlie and Sue, but they have both been very much I'll give credit to Sue, but I don't know about Charlie. They have been instrumental in working with the county here in making sure these bus stops that are already out there are accessible, more accessible than they have been, and making sure that there are standards that are part of the way these bus stops are developed. And so that's a whole other story, and it is something that, you know, that we're experiencing here. And I'll just give a plug to Claire to say that she is very instrumental in working in the area of, you know, transportation accessibility, availability, accessibility, along with everything else that she does. And so it's a partnership type effort with a lot of people working together to make sure that everyone else is safe. And that's a very cool thing.
And Mr. Nay, you get a chance, you need to pull it up somewhere on the website to actually see physically what it looked like, because I guess Ms. Claire can get into it, but it's when we call it floating, it means that it's mobile. It can move from one place to the other, and I'm not sure if some of them have like a shelter over, but we can get into that. But
So we're
up to a break almost, Ms. Renee. So introduce our guests, and which we'll bring them back on the other side after the music, please.
Okay, again, our guest is Claire Stanley. She is an advocacy and outreach specialist, and as Pat already told us, we can certainly ask her about floating bus stops and other advocacy work that she does. She is an advocacy and outreach specialist for the American Council of the Blind. But I'm glad that you clarified that. I thought it was a platform that you stood up on that, you know, was raised and sort of floated. So,
we're talking. Yes. So this is CAGDU about your dog and you. And I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor. And my guest host again is Mr. Pat Sheen. And our guest, which is Miss Claire Stanley. We're going to be back on the other side to talk more about fun things with dogs, blind people, and other real people, which we call TABS, temporarily able bodies. All righty, so on the other side, take it away.
You are listening to CAGDU about your dog and you. CAGDU stands for the Capital Area Dog Guide Users. We are located in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. But the information we share is for dog guide users everywhere. Back to our host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor, and our guest co-host, Pat Sheehan.
Greetings and welcome back to CAGDU About Your Dog and You. Again, I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor, and my guest co-host, Mr. Pat Sheehan. And we're going to have, again, introduce our special guest today, because anybody come on this show, they are special. They have to be special to be able to deal with this group. So anyway, we appreciate them very, very much. So Ms. Renee, once again, formally introduce our guests, and we want to welcome them, and we want to let them know that they are a guest this first time. We will be gentle with them, but as Pat can tell you, second time round, you're like family, and you know how family get treated. Okay, so go ahead, Ms. Renee.
Again, our guest is Claire Stanley. She's an advocacy and outreach specialist of the ACB, the American Council of the Blind. And Claire, I'm going to turn you over to these two gentlemen who promise that they will treat you in a gentlemanly way this first time. After that, you know, it's like a family. You know, you have a nickname, and people, they pick on you and sundry other things. But here we go. I'm putting you in the hand of these two able gentlemen.
Good afternoon, Claire, and thank you very much for agreeing. And we thank our brother Charlie Crawford, which had to give a little update on the other side of the half an hour, for asking you to come on. And tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do, how you do it, and do you feel that you're getting paid enough? Well, we won't get on that. Okay, so go ahead, Claire.
Of course. Well, hello, everybody. It's great to be on your show today. So my name's Claire Stanley. I live here in Rockville, Maryland, so not too far away from everybody else talking. I work for the American Council of the Blind as the advocacy and outreach specialist. And that kind of entails all kinds of different things in the advocacy realm. So I always tell people, you name it, we try to use every angle possible to advocate for the blind. So that might be direct work, making phone calls. It might be, you know, pounding on Capitol Hill, telling Congress we need to change things. Every now and then we do litigation and have to bring a lawsuit if necessary, if it gets there. So you name it, we do advocacy in all different ways, shapes, and forms. So it's great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let me remind people that this is about your guide dog and you. So we want to know how you came about being able to be in a position to have to get the guide dog, how you came about getting the dog, choosing the dog, and how the dog is assisting you. But I'll show where you can go on the website and get a lot of the things that we are going to delve into. But a little bit about yourself as a person, because with people with disability, you know, the old thing when you're dealing with money is who you know, like, and trust. So we want people to get to know you, like you, and trust you. So tell us a little bit about your background, where you were spawned at. You know, was you a baby donor, or did you have real parents, or you know what?
I love it. So I am a product of Southern California, proud Californian. Grew up there for most of my childhood. The fun fact I always tell people is I have an identical twin sister, but she is not blind. So our favorite story to tell people is a couple times in high school, people would walk up to her and go, "I thought you were blind." That was always
Oh, wow. And what is her name? Do it rhyme with Claire?
It does not rhyme with Claire. It's Kate, but, you know, has the same first sound, Claire and Kate.
Okay.
We'll have to get Kate on the phone here, right, and tell stories back and forth. That would be fun.
Oh. We are told
Pat
we sound very similar.
Oh, Pat and Claire, I don't know if you know this. Did you know that Charlie Crawford also has a twin?
And I also
really?
Had a twin, too.
Oh, these twins.
Wow.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, my goodness. Okay,
exactly.
Okay, so go
okay.
ahead, Miss Claire. So you grew up. Then when did you discover that you had visual problems and not your sister?
pretty young, although, you know, she had, I think she actually started wearing glasses before me, ironically. So go figure. But lost my sight when I was pretty young. Yeah.
Wow.
Mine got worse and hers stayed stable, so go figure. Yeah, I was pretty young when I lost my vision. Became a Braille reader in elementary school, proud Braille reader. I was actually the Braille Challenge winner for the National Braille Challenge all in North America back in 2007.
Whoa,
so.
Congratulations.
I always tell kids now, though, that they could probably Braille circles around me, though, so I think my time has come and gone. But
So how did you, where did you go to high school at, and how did you maneuver that? Was it public, mainstream, school for the blind, or what?
For sure. I went to my local high school, so just the local high school right down the street, totally, fully mainstreamed. There were a couple other VI students at my school, but I was the only Braille reader, so, you know, had quite the experience of being the girl with the huge Braille textbooks that I had to pull out of my backpack. Always fun. But yeah, had a great high school experience. Was super involved. I did Model United Nations, which I loved. It's kind of a speech and debate and international relations club. So I did that. I was in choir. Of course, every blind kid is in choir, right? Total stereotype.
Yeah, yeah. Right, exactly. You know, that come along with being blind. You got to be able to have musical talents. You know what I mean? You know, I actually had a man one time say to me when I was blind, I was at an event. He said, "You can play the guitar, right?" I said, No, you can, because you're blind. You can play. No. Every blind person don't play guitar. But I appreciate that. Go ahead, Kay.
Yeah,
so
super
after high school, you went to college, I take it, and what made you choose the college you went to, and did you choose a
career?
What you wanted to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So, went to college right after. I would love to say that I chose my college because it was the best college possible, and it was. It was a great university. I went to the University of California, Davis, but I also partially think I chose my college because it was the furthest away from home out of all the universities that I applied
for. Oh, my.
I always joke that I essentially went out of state without going out of state because it was about 400-plus miles from home.
Ooh,
so,
okay.
Yeah.
Definitely, we need to bring Kate on and get some confirmation on all this stuff.
so now, Kate, did you want to get away from?
This is Claire, Raymond. This is Claire.
I mean, oh yeah, okay. I said they look the same to me. I'm sorry. So Claire, did you want to get away from home because you feel you couldn't exert your independence, or just that those people got on your nerves? Which one was it? Come on.
I think it was a little bit of everything. I think I was ready to spread my wings, so to speak.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So have you already declared what your calm was going to be, your major?
Your major?
My major? Mm-hmm. I did. I feel very blessed. I actually knew what I was interested in, whereas I had plenty of classmates who changed their major something like 5 times. So I went in knowing I wanted to be a political science major. with an emphasis in American government, and I loved it. I went in and didn't change. I did pick up a double major along the way in communication, but went in knowing I wanted to do poli-sci and had law school in my plan, so worked toward that, and that's what I ultimately did, was went on to law school. I took a year off, a break, but then went on to law school. So.
Okay, now you weren't one of these people took a break and put a backpack on and backpack across the country to get to know yourself and who you really were and all that. What did you?
No backpack, but it was a
easy rider.
It was a. I can't take it anymore. I really, really need a break here.
Okay. So. So when did you get a dog and come back to real life, and how did you choose the school, and what was the your experience going away to get a dog, and how were you introduced to why you even thought about this might be a fit for you?
Yeah, you know, I can't even think of a time I didn't know that I was going to get a dog one day. I am a huge dog lover, absolutely love them. And so growing up, I always knew as soon as I'm old enough, I'm going to get a guide dog. I'm going to do it.
Uh-huh.
And growing up, I always wanted a pet dog, and we never had one. And I always said, Mom, please, can we get a dog? And her line, her retort always was, when you're old enough, you'll get your guide dog.
No wonder you wanted to get away from them people. Okay.
This is a local show. I'm glad they came here out of California.
Okay, so go ahead. So you decided.
So I put in my application my freshman year of college. I put in my application and did all that. And I should say, I just had always heard great things of Guide Dogs for the Blind, GDB, and that's probably because I'm from California. So, of course, it's a California school, and I grew up in California. But the summer right between when I graduated from high school and went off to college, I went to the ACB convention in 2007. It was in Minneapolis because I was a scholarship winner, so got to go. That was my first awesome taste of ACB. They didn't scare me away, so...
you tried, but
when I was there, I went to the exhibit hall, and GDB had a table at the exhibit hall, and they said they did Juno walks, so they'd actually go out and let you try to work both with an instructor, and then they actually had a dog in training they let me walk with. So that was my first experience of like working with an instructor and feeling what it felt like to use a guide dog in harness. And I already knew I wanted one, but that was like, it confirmed, like, this is what I want. I'm going to do this. So, yeah.
And when you went away to get one, was any surprises, or what would your type of training was in a day of working with a guide dog?
Oh, my gosh, I loved it. So I went this summer after my freshman year because I was accepted in the middle of my freshman year. But, of course, you know, I couldn't take – at the time for GDB, you'd go for a full 4 weeks. And so I couldn't take that off during school. So I went during the summer and loved it. I feel like we had a party because all the college students were there. So it was just like a dormitory where we all hung out.
Yeah,
but just had such a great experience. The instructors are so, so amazing, so well-trained. It definitely, you know, I'm sure everybody who's listening who's had a guide can say the first time you work with a guide, it's an interesting experience because suddenly you have to trust this living animal more than you can ever imagine. You know, a cane, if you doubt, you can yell at your cane or throw it on the floor, but a dog, you can't do that, hopefully. So it definitely took some getting used to trust the dog completely. And you know, it feels totally different, as you know. So it definitely took some getting used to, but I loved it. It was a great experience. So
looking at the two sides of the ledger of the responsibility of a dog, having a guide dog, and the benefits of a guide dog, you would come down on what side of that?
I totally think it's worth it. It definitely has its responsibilities. Like anything, you gotta feed it, although with the Labrador, you never have to remember to feed it because they'll always tell you when they're hungry.
Like always.
But, yeah. Exactly. So, you know, there's definitely responsibility, but I personally think it's completely worth the responsibility. I love it. So.
Okay.
Can I ask a question? How many guide dogs have you had, Claire?
I am on guide dog number 3. I just got my most recent dog almost exactly 1 year ago. I had my first baby girl. Her name was Corolla. So I called her my car. I had my first car, and she was with me all through college. She was a Labrador Golden Retriever mix. She was black, so I always joked she was ashamed of the Golden Retriever side of her family because you could barely tell looking at her. You just think she was a black lab.
And then
I only had her through college, and then after I graduated from college, I got a big black lab, a male named Kodiak. So I called him my bear. He was my Kodiak bear. Then he went to law school with me, moved across the country with me, started work with me, just was with me for many, many years. But about a year plus ago, he started saying, "Mom, I don't want to do this anymore." So we hung up his harness and let him retire and live the good life, and I got my current baby girl, Tulane, who's a yellow Labrador.
In a college setting, having a dog and having dorm mates and all of that, is it a challenge to keep people at a respectful distance from your dog while you are working and negotiating classes and getting across campus?
Most definitely. I remember people saying all the time, "Oh, I miss my pet dog. This makes me miss my dog." And so people always want to pet it and interact with it. So thankfully, I got my dog right before my sophomore year, so I was no longer living in the dorms. I can't even imagine what it would be like to be in a dorm with a dog.
Wow.
I lived in an apartment. But, lots of students to want to pet.
Well, that's the music, and we're going to get ready to go to our station break, and we are talking to our special guest, Miss Claire, and not her sister Kate. She's back home, and I'm your host, Reverend Ray Razor, and we have Mr. Pat Sheehan, that is our guest co-host today, and when we come back on the other side, we're going to do Charlie's Corner with Charlie C. Information about for you and the DMV. But instead, we're going to have Pat's Place, and it might not be face to face. So, Miss Renee, take it away, and we'll be back on the other side.
We want to thank our sponsor, Big Bad Wolf, a Primo pet store located in Northwest Washington, D.C. They carry raw, organic, and premium food. If your dog needs it, they probably have it. They have store-to-door deliveries in the DMV, so give them a call at 202-747-3434. 202-747-3434. Okay, back over to the gentleman and our guest. Take it away.
All right. Thank you. Welcome back to CAG Do About Your Dog and You. And we will come back to our special guest in a moment, Miss Claire Stanley. She's standing in for her sister Kate. No, that's just kidding. And so she's going to be back with her. She's a specialist, American Council of the Blind, advocate for them. And so we're going to be really talking about grown-up stuff, really, grown-up stuff. That's not the Mickey Mouse Kid Show. And so right now, instead of our brother Charlie still recuperating, and we're going to do Pat's Place, in that face-to-face, and he's going to be sharing with us a little bit about Charlie, but also a little bit about the ACB convention. So, Brother Pat, take it away.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that so much. It's Pat's Place, I guess, as opposed to Peyton Place, but Claire probably wouldn't know about that. I think that was before her time. That's right. So, an update on Charlie from the spa. Talked with him yesterday, and he was full of errands and tasks for me to do, working on streeteries and floating bus stops and a bunch of other things that I'm sure I've forgotten about, but he will be good enough to remind me about it. So he has been giving us tasks full of due dates and all that. He is doing great, and I think he's expecting to get out in the next few days. The last time I chatted with Mr. Rocky Balboa over at the spa, he was on the elliptical and the treadmill and some other crazy machine, and they were just working him out. So I think he's hoping to get home to the Royal Crawfordian home place sometime next week, where he can relax on the couch and get good home-fed food and all that good kind of stuff. Check out, you know, rather than check out all the work needs to be done, maybe he can check out Instacart or something like that, or
right.
or Uber Eats or whatever, you know. So, but Charlie's doing well, so he's doing good, and we're hoping to get him back soon.
Okay, a little information on the National Convention, please.
So the National Convention for the American Council of the Blind starts next week. I know that there are some sessions on Thursday, I think, some Zoom sessions. Claire, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but www.acbconvention.org gives you all the information.
Yep.
A few highlights, and I just learned this the other day. This is just really amazing. They have over 100 breakout sessions that they have scheduled during
wow.
the week-long convention. They're all accessible.
Wow.
They're all on Zoom. Some of them will be on ACB Radio, which is accessible through the Alexa Echo.
Mm-hmm.
And I expect that to turn on here, so I said it quietly. But so you and you're going to have a couple other things that I thought were very cool. Before the sessions in the morning, it will, you know, you have a whole schedule. But before the sessions in the morning, you'll have a couple of hosts that will greet you on air to tell you what's coming up. Talk about the speakers and what the schedule looks like, and then afterwards sort of recap it, and they said it's a lot like what you'd get on the Olympics, you know, as far as what's happened and what they're expecting and what the rest of the day looks like. There are some sessions in the evening. There is going to be a whole channel for the exhibit hall where vendors will go and talk about their what they have as far as their virtual booths are concerned. There are also going to be a number of virtual tours on the tour channel, and those will be all audibly described. I haven't seen where all of them are. Claire, maybe you can help me on that. But I think Mount Rushmore was going to be one of them. So, and then there are a lot of other activities, I think, in the evening as far as program choices go. But it's all available. You know, you can sign up on Zoom, listen to it on ACB Radio. It's very, very cool. So a lot of effort has gone into this. A lot of people have volunteered a lot of time to put it together. And, you know, just thanks to all the people who are working to make Zoom work efficiently and effectively, all the videotaping and everything like that. So it's going to be a good production. As a matter of fact, I said to the president of ACB last night that I think that this is going to be such a nice production that people are going to want us to have a live convention plus all of the same stuff next year, because they're able to reach a lot more people who can't get to convention for one reason or another. And so I think we have we're creating a monster here. I think this is going to be something
I think so.
We're going to expect. And when we get back to our special guest, one of the things that maybe she can talk about is her television career. We didn't get to that yet.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And guide
dogs
and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, we have a lawyer, celebrity, television person, advocate, and outreach specialist, and we're in good shape. We don't even need Kate.
Yeah, you know, and a well, maybe that's why they had to have twins and a braille reader. Okay, so thank you. That's our co-host Pat Sheehan with Pat's Place, and he's substituting again for our Charlie Crawford, which we call Charlie C, who bring information from and for the DMV. And Charlie C has a sponsor now. Charlie C segment is sponsored by the National Capital Area Chapter, and that's the ACB chapter that ABC's chapter that Mr. Sheehan is president on, president of. They agreed and voted on that they will be his sponsor for the rest of the year. So Charlie Corner has a sponsor, and you can go and you can go to the address, web address, the National Capital Area Chapter.org, and that will take you to CAGDU's website, and just go down and you hit a tab and it will take you to a page that tells you about the National Capital Area Chapter and give you information. And we want to get a picture of Mr. Sheehan. He's a handsome white man. I know, black is beautiful, but he is a handsome white boy. And so we have a picture of him there and a lot of information about the chapter, when it meets. And unfortunately, right now, we can't meet, but we meet in a really nice hotel, the Sheraton Park Hotel on Georgia Avenue. We get there like 6 o'clock, and everybody have a dinner, and crab cakes are wonderful, and the barbecue spare ribs are wonderful, and some more stuff. And then we have our meeting at 7 o'clock. We start on time. Pat is very good on that, and he's respectful of people's time, which I appreciate. And then a little after 8, we are out of there. From the table to the bar stools. And people order soda and stuff. So anyway, so that is Charlie's Corner. And now Ms. Renee going to do another proper introduction of our guest. Okay, one half of two sisters. And I'm not going to say we got the better half, but we certainly got the braille reader and the lawyer and the guide dog person, a whole lot of stuff. So Ms. Renee, please.
Well, she is absolutely a Renaissance woman. Our guest again is Claire Stanley, advocacy and outreach specialist for the ACB, the American Council of the Blind. But we understand now that she is also a lawyer and that she also has a TV career. And Pat said earlier that he didn't know if she knew Peyton Place. We know on the soap operas that used to come on in the afternoon, whenever they changed the character out, they would say that it was the position of Kate is now being played by Claire. So anyway, Claire, you're on.
So, Miss Claire, please share with us some highlights, but also before you get to telling us some of the things that are going to be going on with the National Convention and some of the things you want to make us aware of in our audience that we should be paying attention to, tell us a little bit about your TV career.
Sure. So my TV career started just over a year ago. I was getting ready to go back to GDV to get my next guide dog, and I get a phone call from one of the instructors that I knew from before. And I said, "Oh, hey, Darren, what's going on?" And he said, "I need to tell you something." I'm like, "Oh, okay." And GDV had been working with a film crew to develop a new docuseries, so a 6-part documentary that was going to be put on Disney Plus, the new online service for Disney programs, to create the docuseries called Pick of the Litter. And I'm sure many of the listeners have heard of Pick of the Litter, which was the first documentary. It was just a one-episode documentary that came out, I think, in 2018. It was just so popular. It followed a litter of dogs from GDB to see if they had what it took to become a guide dog. And it was super popular. And so Disney approached the filmmakers of it and said, "We want to do 2.0 and follow another litter of dogs and see what it looks like. But we want to go a step further and see the guide dog handlers that the dogs go to and see who they are. So lo and behold, one of the dogs that they'd been following was Tulane. And so since Tulane is really the rock star, movie star, I just go with her. because they'd been following her, they called me and said, hey, we want to send a camera crew out to D.C. and film a day in the life of Claire and get to know who you are. And then when you come out to San Francisco to go through training with your dog, we're going to have a camera crew following you around. So, yeah, that's how I made my TV debut on Disney Plus. So everybody should check it out. They do a great job showing what it, you know, raising a dog is all about and the work that guide dogs do for us. They do a really great job. So.
Oh, that is wonderful.
I'm sorry,
okay,
what was
well,
the name,
we hear,
what was the
we,
name of it? What was the name of the docuseries?
Pick of the Litter.
Oh, Pick of the Litter.
Pick
oh,
of
okay.
the Litter. Oh, okay, we're going to put that on our website and put a link to that. And so, you know, that way, Claire, when you become big star and you say, you know, I knew them when, we'll know what you're talking about. Okay, so
I'm talking to Marvel Studios and representing Claire to Marvel Studios. I think that's her next
okay,
big
you,
jump.
You're already getting your 15% cut. Okay,
yeah.
So you're listening to CAGDU about your dog and you, and I know we ain't talked much about our dog, but talking about you and us. But anyway, so we're going to be on, after the music, we're going to be on back on the other side, and we really going to do some grown-up stuff, I promise you, and take our Mickey Mouse hats off with the ears and everything. So back to you, Ms. Renee, for ID break.
Well, you are listening to CAGDU about your dog and you. CAGDU is the capital area dog guide users located in the nation's capital. Our guest today has been talking about everything except advocacy work, but we're going to get to that in this half with our co-host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor and Pat Sheehan. And again, our guest is Claire Stanley, advocacy and outreach specialist in the ACB, the American Council of the Blind. Gentlemen, take it away for our last segment.
Okay, you're back to CAGDU about your dog and you. I'm the host of Reverend Radio Ray Razor. My co-host, guest is Mr. Pat Sheehan. And you can go to our website, CAGDU.org. And you can hear these shows if you need something to laugh about or whatever. Please, just you could click on where the show be on our webmaster, have it up about Monday or so. And all past shows and all you can listen to. And so we're going to now really be adult about what we're going to talk about. And I'm even going to, you know, use my adult voice. So, Ms. Claire, how are you doing? And welcome to CAGDU. And will please tell us about what ACB pay you for doing. I mean, what's your job position is. So share with us. So Pat, we have Ms. Claire on. So Claire, please just inform us about some important things and give us a, because one of the things I always like to do is make sure that we have a wake-up call, you know, because a lot of us blind people are asleep in more ways than one, having their eyes open or closed. And give us a wake-up and call and what we should be doing in terms of proactive instead of reactive, okay? So go ahead.
For sure. So myself and Clark Rockfall, our Director of Advocacy and Governmental Affairs at ACB, are constantly elbow-deep in advocacy work on behalf of the blind and visually impaired community. Always something to do, always, but COVID-19 has even opened the door to even more advocacy things we need to be working on. So a lot of different, I'll call them projects, that we're working on. One of the big ones, because it's 2020 and the election's coming up in November, has been surrounding accessible voting. So absentee voting is something that's been growing in the last several years. But as most people know, when you do absentee voting, you get a print letter in the mail, a print ballot in the mail. And I don't know about you guys, but that means nothing to me. just a piece of paper. So we're talking about how we can make that accessible. And I said I've been in the, you know, popularity for the last few years, but COVID-19 kicked that way into gear, because now we don't want to go to the polling place. The polling place is unsafe. And so now a lot of states are even requiring residents to vote absentee. But again, that's not accessible. In the state of Maryland, since we're all talking about Maryland, they do have an accessible program, but we argue and think it's only half the way. It only gets us half the way there. Because of a lawsuit called NSB v. Lamone, you can download your ballot and fill it out on your computer and then print it out and send it back in the mail. But I don't know about you guys, having to print it out and put it in an envelope. What if I print out a blank piece of paper and I have no idea that I printed out a blank piece of paper? And suddenly my ballot is useless. So we're really advocating for a new way of voting absentee, where you can do it electronically, both voting and submitting it, so that for those of us who are blind and visually impaired, we can truly vote independently and privately, which is our right under the Help America Vote Act and under the Americans with Disabilities Act. Yes, we've been doing a lot of work in that area. I could ramble on for hours about it, but a lot going on. So we'd love people to really pay attention to what's going on in your state and your community. There's lots of lawsuits going on. We've had people reach out to the U.S. Department of Justice about it. Contact your voting board of elections in your states, in your counties, and, you know, make some noise, because it's a big issue. And every state is kind of dealing with it differently, but it's a big issue in 2020. Again, the elections are coming up in November. So.
Now, Claire, let me ask you about the census. I mean, are you all doing anything in encouraging blind persons, the blind community, how important the census is in terms of the $800 billion that come back into the community?
Most definitely. We are definitely encouraging everybody in the blind and VI community to participate in the census, because depending on the information that's collected, that dictates where funding goes. So we need people to fully participate in it, because if your voice isn't heard, then we don't have accurate numbers to say where federal tax dollars go. So that's really important. We even talked about it at the 2019 annual convention, and I believe we had a resolution on it. Knock on wood, we've heard good things that the website is pretty accessible. People haven't had too many issues with it. But if you don't prefer to do it on the website, you can also call in, and people say that's also very accessible. So it's very doable. So yeah, definitely something we are in stressing that everybody needs to participate in. You still have time. It is not too late. So definitely, definitely, definitely participate in the 2020 U.S. Census.
Another thing,
well,
Ray,
that Claire has worked on.
Yeah, two areas that I would also highlight has been in the transportation arena, Air Carriers Access Act, and Claire can go into that and speak for hours on that. And then also more even just on an enterprise level throughout the nation, information, referral, and peer support. Putting together and codifying a network and making it reliable so that the folks who are losing their sight, folks who want to learn about rehab, education, transportation, environmental access issues, whatever it is, you get to talk to a person, you get referrals and all that kind of thing. So organizing all of those calls that come in and making sure people are getting the information they want. Claire, you want to jump into either one of those areas?
Sure. Yeah. So again, like Pat said, we could talk about these all day, all those issues, but I affectionately call the information referral and peer support IRPS, IRPS. I promise I didn't do IRPS. I said IRPS. And it's we're, like Pat said, we're trying really hard to find a way to organize all of our information so it's accessible at the fingertips of all of our staff, and then we can quickly pass it on to those who need it. So the IR is information referral. So having the information right there, if somebody needs to get in touch with their state voc rehab program or things like that, so we can disseminate it really quickly. And then the peer support being having real-life peers who can help people in different areas of expertise. you know, we get people who call us all the time who say, I just lost my vision and I need X. And so we want to have real peer support that we can say, you know, Pat Sheehan would be great at helping with, well, I don't know if Pat would be good at helping with anything, but.
Sitting on the couch and turning on my TV, yes.
There we go. The next time we need you help with being able to connect real people.
Okay, I didn't know about that program. Well, certainly, we got a lot more grown-up stuff to talk about, so we're going to invite you back in the next couple of months or so, because with the information you have, I'm sure quarterly at least is going to be an ongoing relationship with you. If you wouldn't mind coming back to the Mickey Mouse Show, to CAGDU, I would really, really appreciate
it.
Okay, and
we need Kate back here, and we can do a she said thing. You know?
There we go.
yeah, because we're going to have to verify this is not Kate. This is Claire that we're talking to. You know, y'all been tricking people for years. You know what I mean? Substituting.
Let me just ask a clarifying question. ERP stands for what again? Information
referral and peer support.
Okay. We want to put
on our website.
And put that
and
on our website,
you know,
certainly.
And you just said something. I want to ask Claire, did she ever get that joke, clarifying? Did you ever get that clarifying?
I do declare I have gotten that.
Well, thank you very much, Claire, for coming on. And like I say, we look forward if you would be gracious enough to come back on our show again. We will appreciate it, and we will put you in our guest hall of fame. And like I say, this show is recorded and it will be on CAGDU. And if you need us to send you a link for any verifying information that you really work today and you can get paid, we will do that. Okay.
Sounds great.
Okay.
Thank you so much again.
Thank you.
Good fun. All right, so Pat's Place, we did something that we shouldn't have done or should have done. I'm not sure. We'll find out later. But thanks again, Pat. Appreciate it so much for you being the co-host, and you do make the heavy lifting light. All right?
Oh, thank you, sir. Always a pleasure.
All right. Have a nice weekend. So,
thanks.
Thank you, Pat.
All right. So this is, I want to say, Al... this is the segment where I go to my call to action. And my call to action is always that based on our guests, people with disability, and particularly we're talking about blind, you got to be proactive. You cannot sit back and talk about what you need in transportation, what you need in the way of independent living skills, what you need in the way of technology. You have to be proactive. And one of the things I always say, join a group like the ACB, American Council of the Blind. There's other groups out there you can become part of, because when you have a situation, which you're going to, running with a person with a disability, or just about anyone, when you run into a situation where you are not getting the services you should get, or you're not getting the type of products or problems or whatever, then you have an organization like the ACB to be able to come alongside you, support you, advocate for you. So please. And so, you know, join an organization like the ACB. And you can go to their website, acb.org, and check them out. Okay, so my time is up, and I thank you for your time. Until the next time, this is Reverend Ray and CAGDU about your dog and you. And as we always like to say, hug your honey, but pet your pup. God bless and be blessed.
You have been listening to CAGDU about your dog and you. Capital area dog guide users are located in the nation's capital. We are here every Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time. Have a question or a show idea? You can contact us in all the usual ways. Our email is cagdu2020@gmail.com. That's cagdu2020@gmail.com. Or give us a call at 301-263-7371. Again, that number is 301-263-7371.